This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Talking local on WILO.
The Party Line Crew.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
Good morning and welcome to Party Line this Friday morning. Yes, TGIF. And take in the sunshine and take in the warm weather, because I can't guarantee it's going to stick around. In fact, right now it's looking like we're going to be seeing more normal April spring weather with the 50s and even dropping down into the 30s, possibility of a little frost on Sunday night. So keep that in mind. We want to thank our sponsors for letting us be on the air. TC Trailers, if you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon. Big deals, save money now and 24/7 at welovebigdeals.com. Mother's Day isn't that far away, just a hint. Boone County, Carroll County, and Clinton County Daily News, your free local online newspapers. The Hoosierland TV broadcast brought to you by 51 West Event Center, the Farmers Bank, Sheep's Country Foods, Colligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Dan Getting a Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arborwood by Shoops, Welty Exterior, Newell's Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard Counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Witham. Yeah, it's a long list, hard to get through. Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marshan's Window Tinting, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort, Copper Electric Services, LLC, Braden Business Systems, Avery Home Store, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, Jerry's Body Shop, and Mann's Chevrolet GMC in Delphi. We thank all of them for allowing us to bring you the telecast here on Hoosierland TV, along with the sports and everything else that we bring you on Hoosierland TV. The number to call, 765-659-3338. Phone lines are always open, and we welcome anyone who has a comment or an opinion if they'd like to call. In-house right now, our Indiana State Representative for District 41, got to get it all in there, Mark Ginda. Hey, Mark, thank you for coming in.
Good morning. Good morning. Pleasure being here.
I know. Let's just get to it. We know we got a lot to talk about, and glad to have you swing in whenever you get the chance, because you're honestly not home all that much. You are, but you're not, because you're always at the State House working. So are you on just a little bit of a hiatus then?
Right. We're out of session right now.
Yeah.
And so we don't go back into session until January.
Wow.
So, you know, people often ask me, so what do you do when you're not in session? So,
yeah.
And that's part of why I'm here today, is to talk about what I'm doing when not in session and getting ready for session, and some of the things that I would like to put on the air out there and get some feedback on, but also have some invitations. But before we go too far, I would like any caller that would want to call in and share the locations of where they're picking their mushrooms. I'd be more than happy to write those down, because I know that that's not a secret that anybody wants to keep.
Yeah, up at Adams Mill, I guess there's been quite a few found up in that area.
Well, it's been nice talking with you this morning, so I'll be leaving now.
yeah, because, I don't know, we get this colder, damp weather, it's going to make them kind of disappear for a little bit, but they'll be back. I mean, it's going to be short-lived. They'll be back on Tuesday, I think we get back up into the 70s.
I'll wait till Tuesday then to go out.
Yeah. Okay. So, but you're a mushroom guy, huh? You like to go hunt mushrooms.
If somebody tells me where they're at and I can just go pick them, yes. Yeah.
But you don't want to have to tromp too much to
get I want to be a finder, not a hunter.
Yeah. I don't even like mushrooms, so it doesn't faze me either way. But
I think more importantly, and I say this in all sincerity, there are some topics that we need to talk about this morning, and why I popped in yesterday and asked if I could come in this morning Yep. And I do appreciate you having me, and I appreciate the sponsors that allow this program to go on. Without them, we couldn't be here getting ready to discuss things. So a couple of things I'd like to talk about. Number one, I'm going to go ahead and we'll talk about some elephants in the room.
Yeah.
And that's property taxes. I just asked you this morning. I've not received mine yet. So I don't have an idea of anything, of what's going on with my properties. But I know you said you got yours yesterday.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, we got wild day before yesterday.
Okay.
And pretty much stayed the same for us. Mm-hmm. Right. Maybe a tiny bit of an increase, but not enough to even mention.
Okay.
But I know some other people have. They've seen some increases.
Right. And as far as, you know, increase, stayed the same, went down, I wanted more talk about something completely different in regards to this. When I was leaving, after the last session in February, there is another state representative. His name's J.D. Prescott. He's over by Union City, Indiana. For a long time, J.D. says that he has developed or has a plan to eliminate property taxes. And I have made it a point to say to him, J.D., I want you to come over to my district and do a presentation.
Yeah.
So I was on the phone with J.D. yesterday morning. So that's why I wanted to come on the air today, because I made a promise to J.D. He is going to come over, and we both decided we're going to wait till after the primaries, because we don't want this to turn into some kind of look like have any intention of any kind of gimmick.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So you don't want it to have any bearing on the primaries.
That's correct.
Yeah.
There we go. And I don't want anybody picking it up and going, oh, yeah, I agree with that or that. That's not what this is all about. This is real information that JD has put together in the form of a bill that will eliminate property taxes. And I've asked him to come to Frankfort, and I'm working on a location right now. I have already sent out invitations to some farmers down in Boone County. I was at a meeting last night over in Lafayette, and I've said this. I invited We the People was where I was at last night, and some have already heard JD's presentation. I have not. I've purposely not asked him any details, because I want to listen and learn, not tune out and talk.
Right.
Listen and learn, not tune out and talk. So I will be just as fresh and green as everyone else. Here's where I'm going. JD and I have talked about doing this at the at least 2 weeks after the May primary. Okay. Don't have my location yet. I'll get back with you. You will know it.
Sure.
So here's what I'm asking for. I promised JD that I would have at least 200 people in attendance when he comes over for this presentation. And I'm looking at you very sincerely right mm-hmm. now, because I don't believe it's out of line that I represent 68,000 people that I can't guarantee 200 people to a gentleman who's willing to come over with a plan to eliminate property taxes.
I can see you having a bigger crowd than 200.
Fantastic. I would love for it to be standing room only.
Yeah.
But my answer is, anything short of that is a reflection on how unimportant things must be. Because this is a man who's going to take time to come out of his district to come to our district. He's also going to be bringing representation from Indianapolis, Indiana counties. He's going to be inviting, and a group called AIM. And both of those groups are geared mainly towards local government. I don't want to go, again, I know nothing about what he's going to present. I know that he has done presentations, and I want to stay optimistic, and I want to have a good, clear, listening conscience about what he wants to present. Now, I will share two things with you that that I'm going to be listening for very clearly. Very clearly. How do we fund local units, and how can local units bond under his plan? Those are the two things that I'm going to be listening for very clearly. I do not know the answer to these questions.
Yeah.
But it's the two primary questions that I have. So there it is. I'm here this morning not to ask. I'm here this morning to say I expect 200 people at least, and I will have the location. And I expect that out of respect for JD coming over here and out of respect for what you have asked me to do. You have asked me to remove, eliminate, reduce all the above property taxes. So here is a plan that's coming to you, and I expect you to be in attendance.
I'll be there.
Thank you.
I mean, good
grief. There's one.
I mean, I'm fascinated, and like you, I want to know. All well and good to eliminate, but how are we going to make up that difference? And that's, you know, like you said, the two proposals that you're going to be listening for, that's what I would be listening for.
I think that those who might be listening right now, who might be involved in our local units of government, mm-hmm. and these are schools, county, city, you know, I was in here yesterday to ask to come on today.
Sure.
And of course you had, you know, the city street department here, right?
Right.
Okay. Then you had our police chief here.
Yeah.
And so
all units that would be that are affected, yes. by property taxes.
And I was listening to, you know, I was listening to them say, hey, you know, we're going to be around to do cleanup and things like that. Those things aren't free.
No. Everything has a cost.
Everything has a cost. And those are things that we appreciate having. But again, I don't. We all know these things. I don't want to get elementary here. I am anxious. I'm excited, and I'm going to be open-minded to what JD has to present. So once again, we're looking at either the second or third week in May. It'll be an evening meeting, probably a 6 o'clock start. He says he will have a presentation to do. A video presentation along with his plan. So once again, I'm excited about that.
And I'm sure he'll have a Q&A afterward too. I'll
be making sure he has a Q&A.
Yeah, because you're going to be a part of that, right? Yeah.
Well, I'm like saying, like, why wouldn't I want to bring an opportunity like this to my folks back home?
Sure.
I mean, this gets me a statue and a brick someplace. Sorry.
I'm not going anywhere with that. Okay. I've known you for too many years. Yeah.
But again, I am sincere, yeah. in what we're talking about today.
No, I think it's fantastic. I mean, you have to be able to hear all different views and all different perspectives, not to mention the fact of, you know, different ideas of how can we make things easier for everyone. And if this is a possibility, then
I know it's almost like when I'm sitting here talking about it with you, it's almost like, well, wait a minute, this is too good to believe, right?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Too good to be true.
Okay. But I we can't go into it with that perspective.
No.
Okay.
You have to be open-minded.
We have to realize that he is sincere and he is real, and I want to bring him to this district so we can hear what he has to say and see if there is a plan that we can actually use.
Yeah, I don't think he would be making presentations of something that he hasn't done a lot of research on.
Well, and actually, by the way, JD's intent is actually to go statewide with this.
Yeah.
We will be his first stop. We'll be his first stop. And I thanked him for that because I said, I want to be your first stop. So. Anyway, that's coming up. It'll be in May, and I will get this I'll get this date drilled down.
Okay.
And you will have it.
And Russell and we are committing the whole staff here that we will broadcast and archive that also on Hoosierland TV.
Thank you.
So that it'll be available for everybody who can attend.
Right.
So.
In regards to that, because I thought about this also, please don't allow that to be your, oh, I'll just stay at home and watch.
Yeah, no, we want people there because they can't ask a question if you're not there.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
And it's, again, it's out of respect to JD and my promise to him that I would have 200 in attendance.
I find it interesting, too, that he's from Union City, which Union City has had some of their own problems as far as being able to financially fund things. And they've even had, on a side note, I would love to talk to him about the school over there and what's happened to the school, because Union City School is known very well for having a large digital student program.
And
if, for people who don't understand digital school and don't understand K-12, these kids can attend from anywhere in the state. They can, they could possibly even be from out of state, that maybe they were already in the program, or, and because of jobs, their parents had to move and everything. But Union City has been a very integral part of that. And for lack of a better term, and I can say this, you can't, but I can, they've been attacked and they've been asked to cough up all their funding that helps these kids be in school. And some of these kids, that's because of their parents' work, maybe because of location. Maybe it's just because these particular students learn better because the brick and mortar doesn't work for them. And I just love the fact that he's from Union City, and I really would like to have an in-depth conversation on that side of it too, but we're going to focus on property taxes.
Do a side note on that, would you?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that is something that aggravates me too, is some of the school things happening with schools in our state. But I think this is great. And the fact that we're going to be the first ones, that's even more so, just because property taxes has been a huge conversation here, and it's been a huge, you know, and the farms especially, and yes, I have farm ground. Granted, we don't have a lot of farm ground. We're not like some of the guys, especially on the west side of the county, that have a lot of farm ground, and their property taxes are huge because of that. But I think also a lot of people don't understand how property taxes work. Scott tried to explain some of that yesterday, and we have, and who better to talk about that is someone who helps set some of those standards at the state. Property tax cap. Explain, if you can, explain property tax cap to people and why that really doesn't have a bearing on your actual property taxes to an extent.
Right. And on tax rates and the property tax discussion down at the State House is an ongoing discussion. I find some of the things that we do at the State House, you know what, let's just cut to a chase here. What we did with SB1 was we sent to the local units a unfunded mandate. That is what we did. What does that mean? We said from Indianapolis, you will give everyone a $300 tax break. That's what we said, okay? But we didn't fund it. So where did it come from? Okay, we mandated it. So where did it come from? It came from the local units, okay? That was an unfunded mandate. So I don't, and yeah, did I vote for it? Yes. Why? Lesser of evils. And if you don't think there aren't times that I'm not going to put others in my spot, don't vote for lesser of evils, then I would not be telling you the truth. Okay? SB1 was I'm anxious to get back into session when we have a year of a budget year again where we actually work on things like this, instead of our off years like we just had, that I feel that sometimes relativity gets a little bit lost.
Talking about SB1, granted, it's like you said, lesser of two evils. It's not a perfect bill.
No,
by no means.
No.
There's been a lot of discussion and a lot of looking at possible amendments.
Yes.
To it already, and of course, like you said, you're not in session right now. But when you come back in January, do you look at that as being probably priority for the majority of everybody that's off session right now that's going to be coming back?
Well, I can't speak for what other, what other reps are doing in their areas. I
sure.
mean, there is a group that I keep in close contact with. And here again, some of them are running for office again, because as a rep, you're running every 2 years. Well, this is an election year.
Yeah.
So they're off working on their campaigns right now. So my job is to take care of my people at home. And keep a pulse on what's going on throughout the state to bring that back to the people here at home. So that's why, again, bringing JD in here is part of what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay. But do I feel and do I hope that there are going to be amendments? I mean, and that comes from the chair of Ways and Means. Even he said there are things that we did that need to be looked at. I don't use the word fixed, changed.
Adjustments.
Adjustments, thank you. Yeah. But in all sincerity, there are things in there that it was never a perfect bill when it came out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just felt like when it got pushed through. Mm-hmm. While it was being worked on, it just got pushed through just to have something to pass. And it's like, no,
yeah.
You don't do that, but, sometimes you don't have a whole choice on the deal. Another big discussion that's going on, the gas tax, mm-hmm. and percentage, the gas taxes that are actually being relieved. One of the questions that I had just as a consumer was the gas tax being suspended, fantastic. It's 17 cents. Yeah, people think 17 cents isn't much. It adds up. It really does. But why does the gas tax only work on just gas and not diesel fuel? Because, and being in a farming community where we have we have not only diesel fuel for the road, but you also have diesel fuel for on farm, which mm-hmm. they are two different entities. A lot of people think they aren't, but they are. But why were those two? Do you have any idea why those two were kind of excluded? Why it was just the one and not all gas, petroleum products available at the pump?
Do I know why our governor suspended the gas tax? He did not call me and share with me what
figured.
His thinking is. Okay.
I figured.
Now, if you want to ask Mark Genda as an Indiana state representative his opinion of it, sure. I will give you that.
Yeah.
Because, I wear the hat of state government. It is my opinion as your state rep that the suspension of the gas tax is absolutely not good policy. That is, to me, a knee-jerk reaction. That is, to me, something that sounds really good that you did that. But the ripple effects
yeah.
of what you just did, when you look at road and bridge funding, all comes from our gas tax. Okay?
Right.
So if I take out of your home budget X number percent, it has a ripple effect. I mean, this to me was not good policy. Good politics, not good policy.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly what I thought too.
I mean, sometimes, you know, and again, you can say, well, you know, market, you know, doesn't affect you, blah, blah, blah. Don't think for 1 minute that I don't look when I'm at the gas pump. Don't think for 1 minute I don't look at the man with his wife and two kids in the back of the car, and I don't have an understanding and appreciation for what's going on in that house, because you're wrong. Yeah. I do. I know that it's paycheck to paycheck. Absolutely. But this type of I want to say this. Let me say it clearly. The suspension of the gas tax was not good policy.
No.
Yeah.
No. Everything has consequences.
Yes.
And this one will have a big one before it's over.
Yes.
With, especially depending on how long it lasts.
Yes.
So, you have a bill that you've been working on.
Well, yeah, I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I started working on a bill that has to do with, and I want to say this very clearly, working on a bill that has to do with the office of the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I worked on it 2 years ago, and I'm working on it again this year. And I have set a meeting with the Indiana Sheriff's Association and their representation in the House. I've also got involved with and am going to be bringing on board with me another representative, Representative Sturwald. And Representative Sturwald has had a very close association with the Indiana Sheriff's Association at the State House. He carries a lot of their bills. I guess I'll phrase it that way. And so I've asked him if he would help me with looking at the sheriff's office and looking at some of the changes that I feel have been needed for not just recently, but for a while. And this is for throughout the state of Indiana.
Yeah.
It's very clear to me on something. One of the things that I do not like what happens sometimes at the state house, what I don't like is carve-outs. I don't like carve-outs. And what I mean by that is when we do something at the state, we affect 92 counties. When somebody brings something to the state house that just affects their home, their one piece, that to me is questionable. Those are carve-outs, okay? When we throw a stone in the pond, it's not a rock, it's a boulder, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when you ask your state rep or your state senator to do something, understand it affects 91 other counties.
Right.
Okay? When I'm looking at doing, there are some what I consider to be things in that are allowed in the sheriff's office that are antiquated, that goes back to 1859.
I was gonna say back in the 1800s.
Yes, when the sheriff of Bartholomew County and his wife, you know, lived at the jail, and there was two cells, and she washed and cleaned the cells and made beans on Monday, and fed the two inmates or the one or whatever. That's when some of these things were established. It's obvious that we need to look at some of those pieces and bring it up to the modern times. So, again, the bill that I'm going to be working on has to do with the overall sheriff's office throughout the state of Indiana. And I want to be very clear on that. I hope that's ringing clearly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm supposed to do as a state rep.
Yeah, no, that's something that's been discussed. I can remember discussing it back in government class. I mean, seriously, the laws that govern the office of the sheriff, like you said, they are antiquated. They've been back in the 1800s was when many of those were actually established. And I'm sure there's other laws out there that need to be looked at too, but a majority of them we have. And well, they have been updated. But this one just happens to be over a body that's governed by the state that, unfortunately, there's a lot of volatility in, and not just here. There's other counties that are having some volatility issues as well. But this is just stuff that should have been done years ago.
After I get together with the Sheriff's Association and Representative Sterwald, and we start to get movement on this, okay? Yeah. I'll come back. I've always pledged to you that I'll come back.
Oh, yeah. You know the door's always open.
Well, and I'll come back and let you know things that have been discussed and directions that we might be going in. There's nothing that I won't share with you.
You were working also on one about protecting, like, doctors, nurses, and people that are brought in as maybe witnesses on cases, and they've had stalkers before, talking about their identities, their residential, their families being protected. You were working on that as well.
Right, and that actually, in fact, I got to call the counselor back that said that she had concerns, mm-hmm. About, asking if she could redact her information. That actually was placed in as an amendment. And so, people say, well, gosh, I bet, everything you do, people are always chewing you out or blah, blah, blah. And I really wish I could say to people, no, that's not the case. Because constituent services, being able to call that young lady back and say, you are now lawfully allowed to go redact your information from the public, was certainly a highlight to what I do.
Yeah.
Okay? To actually know that there was a young lady who was concerned about her family, and being able to, and I know in today's world, it's tough to disappear, okay? But to know that she has that one, at least the ability to redact public information, so someone who may want to do harm or someone who may want to stalk, as you said, would at least have to go through another hoop or two to find her. Those are highlights,
yeah,
of what we do. Okay. So those are the things that those two primary things I wanted to come in and share with you this morning. Certainly would entertain if there's other questions that are out there, but those are the two things that I wanted to highlight with you today and allowing me to come in. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
That things that, what's your rep doing when he's not doing?
Well, and now that right now you're, I want to say, in your off season, mm-hmm. sort of. I mean, I know you're still working, but you're kind of in your off season. Maybe we can look at you coming back and just having discussions on this kind of stuff. Even if you don't have all your ducks in a row on the things that you're working on, just come in and talk just hash over some of the things that constituents and people are concerned about and your thoughts on everything. So,
okay. And of course, I've always been very clear. In fact, people have said, because I stopped into the mayor's office, the mayor of Frankfort, yesterday also, and told her about this. And by the way, in case you're sitting out there and you're an elected official, or I've not been to the schools yet, my intention is to go to the schools also. They'll all be invited to this event. It's not a secret, but I do want to do some personal invites. But I stopped by the mayor and mayor's office to make sure that she was aware that I was putting this together.
That's good. Really quickly, Carl is on the line, and Carl had something he wanted to say. Hey, Carl.
Hey, good morning, sweetheart. Mark, what do you know about these AI facilities? Is that good or is that bad? I don't know nothing about this kind of stuff. Is that what the world's coming to, AI?
Yes, without question. AI like a lot of things, the fear of the unknown, right?
I don't know nothing about it.
Well, you probably don't, but you do. And because it's happening right now, and you may be unaware of it. In fact, here's something I'll share with you, Carl. I was watching the news just yesterday, and there is an actor by the name of Val Kilmer, okay, who passed away.
Yes, I know.
Okay. I was watching, there's a movie that he's actually going to, his AI portrayal is going to be in an upcoming release in a movie. And his family gave the go-ahead on it. Did you hear? I don't know what the movie is.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I just know that the family gave their permission on it. They are a part of the production because they are approving his appearance and actual, they will actually have approval over his part in the movie. But yeah, I have mixed emotions on that kind of stuff.
I think once again, you know, Carl, to answer your question, is it good? Is it bad? It's like a lot of things.
Well, some people want it in town, and some people are protesting against it. I don't know nothing about it.
Yeah, I think you're referring more towards the data centers than just AI itself.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And is it data centers AI?
Well,
is that what data centers are?
Data centers are storage.
Well, isn't that AI? I don't know nothing about computers. Data center's not AI, then.
Well, they may store AI, but AI is a separate programming. It is a type of programming, whereas a data center is where all that information is being stored. Where it's being, you know, sent out to whatever entities want to access it. That's kind of what a data center is.
Oh, shoot, man. I didn't know. I thought centers was AI.
Well, in a way they are. I mean, they hold AI. They hold a lot of it in their processors and yeah.
Another question I wanted to ask you, Mark, was our governor. And I know these young mothers with children, they need child care or whatever. He's appropriating $200 million for child care. Is that correct?
Yes.
When will that take effect?
I know that he is. I don't know that there's an actual start date yet that he has said on that.
Where are they going to get the money?
Okay. Once again, the governor didn't call me on this.
Why not?
Yeah.
He probably talked to the president, the governor, probably.
So here's what happened, and Carl, I'm glad you brought this up. When Indiana puts its budget together, it's done every 2 years. We're in a biannual budget. When we put the budget together a year and a half ago, we got a state forecast of, it couldn't have come at a worse time. If you recall, this would have been back in April of 25. That is when the market, the stock market, everybody who went to their mailbox and looked at their investments took a hit in April. That is when we received the state budget forecast for the next 2 years.
Okay?
At that point in time, because of, and this is a positive of Indiana, we we have it in our Constitution that we will have a balanced state budget.
That's good. That's yes, good.
I don't disagree. Like I said, I paraphrased it by saying it's a good thing. What happened was it came, our forecast came at the worst possible time for us to put together our biannual budget. So what happened? All agencies, and this is from the legislative side when we put the budget together, all agencies took a 5% haircut across the board. Okay, the only thing that didn't get touched was education.
Uh-huh.
Okay, everybody took, and there were some on the education side, they'll say, well, wait a minute, you know, we took a cut. No, you got froze, but you didn't take a cut. Okay, all agencies took a cut, 5%. And then, at that point in time, our governor said, well, not only is it 5% after we close session, he said, I'm going to put another 5% on top of the agencies to take another 5% haircut. All right. All of a sudden, just as your portfolios did for your investments and everything else, all of a sudden, things appeared good again. Now the state of Indiana is in a good place financially. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I.e., suspension of the gas tax. And all of a sudden, we now have money for child care. Well, here's what I'll share with you. There was a young lady that came to my office last year on a non-budget year, and she owned, I hope you heard that in past tense, she owned a child care facility in Boone County. She came to me and said, if we don't have that assistance, my families will not be able to afford child care. And I will have to close. What can you do to help me? And I said, unfortunately, I can't do anything. The only person that can is the governor of the state of Indiana. And so the handful or mound of letters that she brought to me from her clients, parents, I directed her to the governor's office. And it wasn't because I was passing her off. It's because when we were in a non-budget year, the budget was already set, but the governor, through his executive power, had the ability to do what he's doing right now. Now, unfortunately, fortunate that he has seen the need to help those families. Unfortunately, the young lady who came to my office, that daycare is no longer a operating facility.
Too bad. So,
so that's how it worked.
Yeah.
You know, that's, but I told her, I said, I'm really not passing you off. I'm sending you to the one place that actually can do something. And unfortunately, it wasn't us in the legislation, it was the executive branch.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to think anymore. Things aren't going very well the last 2 or 3 years. You know it, Mark?
Carlin, I know this. I actually I just came from a group of men that I meet with on Fridays, and I go there because I need uplifted.
Yes,
I need my glass. I need my glass half full again.
That's right.
And I know this. I personally know that my Lord is in charge.
Yes.
And
yes.
I know that as long as I keep that in focus, all the things that we look at and say, oh my gosh, it's all coming to an end. Actually, yeah. It's not. God is in charge, and he will get us through this if we believe. And that's where I'm at.
I agree 100%, Mark. And I'm going to get off here, and you're doing a wonderful job. And God bless you, Mark, for what you do. And God bless you, Melissa. And have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Carl. You too.
Thank you, sir.
Don't eat too much ice cream.
Yeah.
you got to love Carl. He brings up a lot of great points.
No, he does. And he's always, I guess what we really like about Carl is his sincerity.
Yep, exactly. Well, Mark, that was quick. It may well, not for, be, may for, not seem like it to you, but
well, for it some, it was probably way too long. But
yeah, well, everybody has an opinion, don't they?
I'll leave that alone.
But thank you for coming in. I really appreciate it, and look forward to having you back in again.
I'll be back
for more conversation and finding out, you know, your dates and let us know about that. And thank you again just for coming in.
Just so you know. Real quick, I know you have no guests coming in. I don't want to take a step over, but people have asked, how do I get a hold of you?
Yeah.
Okay. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. Here's my personal cell phone number. I've passed it out here before, and I'll do it again. And because when I went to the mayor's office, she said, Mark, how's the best way to contact you? 765-242-1142. That's my cell phone. I can't be any more open. I can't be any more open than that with you. 765-242-1142.
If he doesn't answer, he will call you right back because he may be hunting mushrooms, or he's probably on the call with another constituent and talking to them about what their concerns are.
Thanks for having me here today. Thank you. As you went through your long list of those who sponsor Party Line, I really do appreciate the opportunity that they give us. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be back with our second half of Party Line in just a moment.